This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
One of England's top soccer teams is now in American hands. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Sasha Twining, in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. Chelsea Football Club is now owned by Clear Lake Capital, the private equity group led by LA Dodgers co-owner Todd Bewley. It's paid a combined total of around $5 billion. The soccer club was put up for sale by its previous owner, Russian Roman Abramovich. He's since been sanctioned by the UK government as part of its response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Here's Kieran Maguire, who teaches soccer finance at the University of Liverpool.
Under Abramovich, the club was run in more of a trophy asset manner rather than as a traditional business, and it was losing around about $1.1 million a week. That was over a 20-year period. So from a business fundamentals point of view, it looks as if the price paid for the soccer club was high. However, I think the new owners feel that because Chelsea is based in central London, it's in probably the most exclusive areas of London as well, that the real estate assets are worth a lot. And also because Chelsea are presently the European champions, and in fact the world champions as far as club soccer is concerned, they have a very good reputation in the game, and that's added to the value that the new owners are prepared to put into the club.
Kieran, do you think we'll see any difference in the way the club is now run, or maybe any different players coming in? What do you think?
Well, as far as the roster is concerned, I think what we will see is more of a money ball approach. Player recruitment will be based more to do with sports science and analytics and data-driven reasons. Under Abramovich, things were always slightly chaotic in the sense that you were never quite sure what was going to happen. He had a habit of hiring and firing coaches at whim, and that proved to be very expensive.
Kieran Maguire, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, it's believed the proceeds of the sale of the club will go to help humanitarian causes in Ukraine. Meanwhile, at the World Economic Forum in Davos, the former boxing brothers of Ukraine, Vladimir and Vitaly Klitschko, who is now the mayor of Kyiv, say their concerned support for their country could start to ebb in the face of rising food and fuel prices across Europe. The BBC's economics editor, Faisal Islam, is there.
Vitaly Klitschko, the mayor of Kyiv, has been meeting Ukrainian refugees taken in by the Swiss authorities. Outside, Vladimir Klitschko was trying to persuade the Swiss to abandon their traditional neutrality and supply tank ammunition. When asked if they had seen signs of major EU nations, such as France and Germany, beginning to pull their punches on support, both Vitaly and Vladimir expressed their concern.
We hear that, and there's always going to be like that.
I see that, and I tell to every politician, right now the world black and white, and you have to decide. You're on the side of democracy, of peace in Ukraine, or you're in the side of dictator, the aggressors, Russian Federation.
The boxer said that politicians across Europe needed to prepare the public for the consequences of the war in terms of higher prices.
Faisal Islam. Let's do the numbers now. Tokyo stocks closed lower on Wednesday after US shares mostly retreated following a profit warning from the owner of social media company Snapchat that shocked the tech sector. Looking at currencies, the Russian ruble is now at a four-year high against the dollar, while the Turkish lira dipped again ahead of an interest rate decision tomorrow.
Distribution of Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service is supported by TaxJar, a Stripe company committed to making the complex world of sales tax compliance simple for e-commerce businesses. Learn more at TaxJar.com. And by Genesis, cloud contact center technology designed to improve customer experiences by using data and AI to better understand and predict customers' needs. Genesis.com/superhuman.
The UK could be about to allow gene-edited crops on grocery store shelves for the first time, though only in England. The technique's been previously banned under European Union legislation, but since Brexit, that could now change, and the first food could be tomatoes with boosted vitamin D. Here's the BBC's Palab Ghosh.
Gene editing involves reprogramming plants by snipping out small sections of DNA. The technology produces crops that could have come from traditional crossbreeding, but significantly more quickly. Nigel Moore of the plant breeding firm KWS in Hertfordshire plans to use the technology to speed up the development of new varieties of wheat and barley.
When we're developing new varieties like these that you see in the packages here, that takes around 12 years typically. With precision breeding techniques, we can significantly shorten that timescale and bring new varieties to the market much faster.
The older technique of genetic modification involves putting genetic material in, sometimes genes from a completely different species. A wide range of foods are produced using both methods in other countries, but not in Europe.
That's because Europe effectively banned genetically modified crops 25 years ago over concerns about their safety. When gene editing emerged 8 years ago, that wasn't allowed either. The UK government has now looked at the science and decided that the newer technology is completely safe.
In 1999, worried protesters trampled GM crops. Since then, scientific reviews have shown the technology to be safe. And some have now changed their minds. Mark Linus was there.
Crops have been in the ground now for a quarter of a century. We know they're safe, and we also know that it's a technology which can be very useful for increasing the sustainability of agriculture, to reduce pesticides, to help crops adapt to climate change, to feed a growing world population.
But a large proportion of the population still have their doubts, especially that the new gene-edited crops won't be labelled, and they worry that the regulation won't be fully transparent.
Palab Ghosh there. Drop us an email. We're at marketplace@bbc.co.uk. In London, I'm Sasha Twining with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.